Support for this podcast comes from Amazon Prime. Being a Prime member comes with a ton of perks, especially during Prime Big Deal Days. This two-day shopping event will give Prime members exclusive deals on the things they love, fashion, electronics, home goods, you name it, and that can make you feel like a big deal. Don't miss out on 2 days of big savings. Join Prime now, just in time for Prime Big Deal Days happening October 10th and 11th. Learn more at amazon.com/PrimeBigDealDays.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm producer Rihanna Cruz.
I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
And I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
When people talk about their favorite rappers, one of the words that I hear thrown around a lot is the idea of flow. And while I have a vague sense of what it means as somebody that listens to a lot of hip-hop, it's a concept that I want to explore more deeply, the idea that it's not the lyrics, but rather how a rapper spits their bars.
This is a cool way to think about hip-hop, Rihanna, because I feel like usually we zero in on the hardest-hitting disses in a track, the most clever instances of wordplay. But part of what draws us to an artist is not just the content of their lyrics, like you were saying, but it's actually the way they deliver them, the rhythm, the pace, the cadence, the flow. And yet we don't really have like a definition. You can't look in the Harvard Musical Dictionary under F and find flow next to, you know, I don't know, forte and fortissimo.
Flugelhorn.
Between fortissimo and flugelhorn lies the elusive flow. This feels like a cool opportunity to do some listening, think about what flow means, and hopefully get some insight from a practitioner themselves as to the meaning and the sort of cultural history of flow.
Right. So to answer this question of what is flow, I wanted to go to one of the practitioners, somebody who's been in the game since nearly the very beginning.
How you doing? I am DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Whoa.
How'd you get Jazzy Jeff?
That's, Oracle that's status fun. Right here.
Worked my magic. So the very first thing I asked DJ Jazzy Jeff is, what is flow in his eyes?
Flow is cadence. Flow is rhythm. Like, from a producer's point of view, you can make a beat that is straight up. You can make a beat that swings, that has a little bit of a swing to it. You can change that swing in increments. So you can swing it really, really heavy. You can swing it slightly. That's pretty much what flow is from a lyrical point of view. It's, you know, how well is your cadence? How well is your time signature on whatever you're on? You know, it can be a cappella, but if it's to a beat, do you ride the beat the way the beat is? Do you counteract and ride the beat in a different time signature? Are you one with the beat? Flow is something that not a lot of people understand, but you feel it. Flow is more about feeling than hearing.
I guess then, would you say you're not really listening for something? You're just kind of feeling it in your body?
Yes. Because I think the average person who doesn't do music receives music for how it makes them feel. I realized at a very young age that there were certain things in music that would give me goosebumps. There were certain things that would raise the hairs on the back of my neck. There were certain things that I would frown and almost want to cry, and I don't understand why. And I think as I've gotten older, I started dissecting what those things were. I feel music more than I listen to it. That has always been one of my secret weapons, that knowing this, and like I said, the average person not knowing their feeling, I know how to string records together to give you that feeling. Like, over and over and over. Like, it's funny that you're saying this. that has pretty much been one of my secret weapons forever, that I approach music from a feeling perspective. I know how this record makes me feel. And if it makes me feel like that, it makes someone else feel like that, because I know I'm not the only person. Because I know that, I can put together six records in a row that give you that feeling that you're wondering, like, oh my gosh, like, why am I feeling like this? I am feeling so great.
To you, what represents the golden age of hip hop and specifically Flo?
Oh man, I would absolutely have to say the 90s. The early 80s to the late 80s was the discovery period of us realizing that hip hop was going to be here. And I think people had to understand that hip hop is not a musical art form. Hip hop is a lyrical art form over any kind of music. So I think once that clicked was when you started getting the Tribe Called Quest heavily jazz influenced.
Hey yo, inside the ghetto or in a sunny meadow, I'ma make you move, whether woman or fellow. Yo, I got the medals in the war field of respect, like an ill porn will make your body.
That's when, to me, it turned into, oh man, hip hop can pretty much be whatever you want it to be based off of the music you're trying to go after. And I think once people understood that and you start digging for some of these jazz records that are solely made off of feel, the flow started to come into play. That is kind of like, okay, I know how this sample is. I know how this beat is. How can I complement this? And that's when you really, really started to get the discovery, especially, you know, pretty much from 1989 to about 1997. It was, you know, so much hip hop that was out there that flow became the thing.
Do you think flow is something that could be found in anything, or is it something very specific to hip hop and the genres that are inspired by hip hop?
100% found in anything. One of the reasons why the hip hop community loves Mary J. Blige so much, Mary J. Blige's flow is like a rapper. Mary J. Blige knows how to sing with the flow of Biggie.
Back, I get deeper and deeper, help you reach the climax that your man can't make. Call him, tell him you be home real late and sing the break.
Say what's on your mind and you'll find in time that all the negative energy it will oversee.
And you fall into her cadence before you understand what she's saying or how well she's singing. It's just like, oh my God, she is so locked into this.
Like on like Family Affair.
Yeah, that's it. Like she nailed that.
Yeah.
She nailed that. She could have rapped those lyrics.
I mean, it is kind of rapping, you know? It's like, let's get it crunk up. Like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I totally get it.
There are rappers that are friends of mine that I hate the way that they rap because their flow is always counteracting. And I think I am somebody that my natural rhythm wants you to lock in to the drums. Biggie was amazing at his flow. And I realized that there are people that like Biggie because his cadence married to every beat he's ever been on.
Player, please, lyrically, see, B-I-G-B, flossing, jig on the cover of Fortune, 500, it's my phone number, your man, I got the dough, got the flow down, peace out.
You know, some people have friends just because, oh my God, his lyrics are just absolutely mind-blowing. Some people have fans because it's kind of like, the beat is great, but when you have that person that is just like, you can sit in that pocket, and sometimes it's not quite on beat. Sometimes you're a little bit laid back off of the beat that it almost feels like you're going to fall off, but you never fall off. That those are the tricks that you can play with people's natural body clock that makes all the difference in the world.
Wow. DJ Jazzy Jeff, really stood out to me, this ending point about flow can exist everywhere. It can maybe exist in your cadence of speech. It can definitely exist in how you sing, but it is certainly intertwined with having an immaculate sense of rhythm, almost creating your own rhythm along with a song.
One of the big takeaways for me is I like how someone who's been in the game as long as Jazzy Jeff has this like kind of bird's eye perspective.
I really like what he said about the body clock, because every person's body clock is unique. So by extension, every person's flow is going to be unique in some way. Of course, certain flows can bite other flows, so to speak, but you always can bring something to the table.
Yeah, your natural method of speech.
Right.
Like, I definitely, if I could rap, would be singing mumble rap because I speak way too quickly and I mumble all the time. Glad there's a genre for me.
Little pop.
Little Chuck.
But yeah, there's certain things in that conversation that we can hone in on. He brings up Biggie's flow as something that everybody loves, which makes sense because he's one of the most popular rappers of all time. Take Big Papa, for example.
To all the ladies in the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical douches in your bushes. Who rock grooves and make moves.
Biggie does exactly what DJ Jazzy Jeff talks about. He delivers a flow that feels so natural and easy, while also being locked into the drums and keeping up with the rhythm.
There's a real push and pull here where you have this underlying slow, steady beat, and Biggie is able to move energy forward or pull it back by the intensity of his rhyme scheme. So if he's just doing end rhymes, you're like, okay, boom, hanging in with the beat. But then he starts doing interior rhymes and intensifying the rhymes, and almost feels like the song is moving faster even though it's staying at the same tempo.
It's also the way he attacks certain words.
To all the ladies in the place with style and grace.
It's like he's like putting these accents on certain words that bring you deeper into his flow. It's like, who knows if he's doing that intentionally or not, but man, it is so effective.
So, of course, Biggie is at the top of the pantheon of famous rappers.
Sure.
But with the pearls of knowledge we gathered from DJ Jazzy Jeff, we should look at some of our favorite rappers of 2022 and how they use flow in their work.
Support for this podcast comes from Amazon Prime. Let's be honest, everyone loves a little VIP treatment, whether it's a stranger holding your door or an extra nugget in your order. It's a reminder that your parents were right, you are special. Now during Prime Big Deal Days, feel like the ultimate VIP with exclusive savings just for Prime members. Join Prime today, just in time for Prime Big Deal Days. The two-day shopping event offers personalized suggestions with huge savings. Prime Big Deal Days happening October 10th and 11th. Learn more at amazon.com/PrimeBigDealDays.
So from our conversation with DJ Jazzy Jeff, he pointed out there's a few aspects to a flow. There's cadence and there's rhythm, but above all, it's something that's primarily felt. So I thought this could be a great opportunity to try and use this framework to understand the flows of some of the rappers that the Switched On Pop team has been listening to over the past few months.
Nice, let's do it.
Well, something that stood out to me this year is Black Thought on his collab album with Danger Mouse, Cheat Codes. Let's listen to the track Aquamarine. The morning star Tariq, I was born to be a teacher, whether scorpion or a frog. The nature of the creature is to evolve. Though it's the savage beast we truly are. My words should be studied up in Berkeley and Juilliard. All my bars is hard as solid gold bullion. My name in the Quran like the kingdom of Suleiman.
Whoa.
That is one of my favorite bragging lines ever, where he says, my words should be studied up in Berkeley and Juilliard. All my bars as hard as solid gold bullion. And I took him at his word. I was like, all right, man, if you really think we should study it, like we're at Berkeley and Juilliard studying music and conservatory, let's look closely at these bars. Can we check out just the first opening lines of the verse here?
We go from Lyra to Libra, from cold water to fever, to World War III.
We can study those lines at a molecular level because the way that he embeds rhymes into every word develops its own rhythm onto itself. We can think about Black Thought's flow as its own percussion instrument in this song, right? So I took each rhyme and assigned it to a different sound on a drum kit.
Nerd. Sorry, it's something going around.
Okay, fair. First, we're going to listen to E sounds, as in we go from Lyra to Libra. Every time you hear an E sound, I layer it with a kick drum. We go from Lyra to Libra, from cold water to fever, to World War III, from the treaty signed to Geneva. Every time you get an O or O, like go, cold, world, war, you're going to get a tom. We go from Lyra to Libra, from cold water to fever, to World War III, from the treaty signed to Geneva. Every time you hear F from fever, you're going to hear a deep 808. And every time you get an ah, as in Lyra, Libra, you're going to hear a snare. We go from Lyra to Libra, from cold water to fever, to World War III, from the treaty signed to Geneva, the biology. Put them all together and Black Thought's flow becomes its own drum set. You can study those bars in Juilliard.
That's so cool, Charlie.
Thanks. Not me. Black Thought. Bars of bouillon.
Brava.
It's so artful, and to me that demonstrates how intentionally crafted it is. Black Thought is a master of the form, and he's showing us so effortlessly in the confines of this track.
Well, that's what's amazing, is here we're not even talking about the content of the lyric, just looking at the syllable, the rhyme, the accents, where things land, how they interact with the rhythm. And those things on their own are spectacular, in the same way that you can hum along to a chorus because the hook, the melody is amazing. You don't even need the words. You can almost drum along to how he's rapping. That's the flow. And then he maps on lyrics that you got to sit down and study and read 17 times and go open up a dictionary and read Wikipedia and go down a wormhole to be able to figure out the beautiful construction of his thought.
I love listening to this vocal drum kit that Charlie's created here, because I think it goes back to one of Jazzy Jeff's like core points. You're not necessarily thinking about this when you're listening to Black Thought's flow. You're probably, if anything, just trying to keep up with the verbal dexterity that's on display.
Absolutely.
But then when you take away the meaning of any of those words and just think about the sound of them, just think about the rhymes and the rhythm, you realize the flow itself, like beyond any of the textual meaning, stands on its own. It's funky. It's kind of addictive, honestly, to listen to.
It's also probably what makes it listenable when you're not tuned into the lyric.
Or when you're listening to hip hop in another language, whether it's Korean or French, it's like, it's not something we'll necessarily get to talk about today, but it makes me think like flow is kind of universal, right? You don't need to even know the language to be able to bop your head to someone's flow.
For sure.
Well, clearly Black Thought is somebody that's been in the game for decades and has demonstrated a mastery of the beat and up form. On the other side of the spectrum, I would love to take this opportunity to talk about my favorite rapper, Babytron. Here's the track, Crocs and Walk. Honey ball and all blues on me, bitch, think I'm Crip. In the deep, gray, white, don't think I'm shrimp. G-O-A-T,
shit, bitch, I think I'm him. Gotta be 10 plus with me to think I'm Ken. What is that beat?
Baby who?
Babytron.
Wild.
I have found myself grow incredibly accustomed to his rap style, the way that he raps, the beats that he raps on. He uses these 80s and 90s freestyle songs on his beats, and his rapping is sort of off the cuff, but I find that to be the appeal. I like him because it honestly sounds very juvenile. It appeals to me.
Do you self-identify as juvenile, Rihanna?
Yeah, you know.
I'm looking at his Wikipedia page right now. He has a song called Blah Blah Blah. Shut the fuck up. Bop, 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 if you run up. Which he shares in common with Ira Gershwin, right? Blah, blah, blah,
blah, boom, blah. Wow, Chuck, bring it back to Tin Pan Alley. Yes, Ira and George Gershwin have the song Blah Blah Blah. So they're
so maybe, you know, not so juvenile after all.
Ira Gershwin Baby Tron, Kesha, and 303.
This is wild to listen to, Rihanna. I find it really disorienting in a not unpleasant way, to be clear. But we heard earlier from Jazzy Jeff, you know, some flows are like one with the beat, he said, I think. This is the opposite of that to me.
Definitely.
This is, Baby Tron is not one with the beat.
No.
He and the beat are like barely on speaking terms, honestly. He and the beat are estranged. Something went down between Baby Tron and the beat, and he is all over the place.
Red beam all on dog nose, he a big clown. Unky moving through the bows, this is fifth pound. $1,000 sneak side, take your ass to drip town. Hitman, Mr. Headshot, you better get down. You better try and run and flee, you better tuck and duck.
I bet, you know, frankly, to some people, I bet they listen to this and they're like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Would be a reaction.
Nate, I'm going to let you finish, Nate. I'm going to let you finish. Uh-huh. I'm just doing exactly what Babytron is doing, which is stepping on the beat before it even finishes its thought.
Well, I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I think this is very studied. I think it's hard to do this, to be so not on the beat in such a consistent way.
Zaza, turtle pie, this ain't motor, bruh. 10 toes, bitch, I'm with the reaper, all he knows is step. Backwood full of run, swear I ain't joking, Neff.
I think that's hard to do. And it's so cool to listen to because you can hear he's like recording different parts of this, I think, and then splicing them together. Like you can hear these moments when his voice almost overlaps because they're like clearly separate recordings that were put next to each other. And I feel like usually you do that in order so that you can be perfectly on the beat. But he's doing it so he could just be further off in outer space. I don't know. This is
in Babytron land.
Right.
This is some seismic stuff.
As an experiment, I wanted to put a click track behind Crocs and Walk to see how truly far off Babytron is from the beat.
If I hear a sub, guarantee I got the Glock jump. Mirrors of the Swoobies of the Purples, I don't rock cuts. Threw the beam on the Glock because it comes in hand. Shot his legs off, he took the bag and tried to run it, man. $100 plate, Sari meal, bitch, my stomach fans. I was young as hell, loving paper, you was in love with candy. I was young as hell, masked up before Halloween.
So yeah, Nate, like you said, it feels almost intentional. Like he is making a point to be off of the beat.
But what he's doing is what Jazzy Jeff was talking about. Like, this is his natural body clock, I mean, presumably. And when you listen to it, it retunes your own body clock. It puts you in a different time. It creates a new TikTok for you. And by that, I mean literally like the TikTok of a clock, okay? Just to be clear.
Yeah, gotcha, yeah.
I mean, it's reflective of like a new wave of rappers in the underground from the past few years. Like, another rapper I really like is RXK Nephew, and he just kind of rambles on the beat. Like, it's very, very off the cuff, and it's kind of just like he's talking, and the beat is there, and whether or not he's on the beat is his prerogative.
Out in the cold, strapped with the heat. Track so much, I forgot to eat. This field I'm in, can't close my teeth. You can look in my eyes and know what I mean. I take a picture, my eyes start bleeding.
So that's take three off of the album Crack Therapy 3. And that's just one of the hundreds and hundreds of songs that RXK Nephew has put out. He's put out over 400 songs last year in 2021 alone. So he's a man that's very prolific, that just kind of like talks and extols all of his inner thoughts onto the beat.
Yeah, DJ Jazzy Jeff said that a flow is often felt. And the feeling that I get from this off-rhythm, frantic style flow is anxiety.
Well, that's interesting, Charles. I wonder if the fans of these rappers have the same reaction. Do you have a sense of that, Rihanna? Do people listen to this to feel anxious?
I don't know. I mean, I can listen to an album like Cheat Codes and understand that it's a mastery of the art form, but I can listen to artists like Babytron and RXK Nephew and like it because it's fun and it's silly and,
yeah,
you know, like I don't listen to it and feel anxious. I listen to it and feel this sort of train of thought, sort of stream of consciousness style of rapping, which I think reflects anxieties, but isn't an inherently anxious type of flow.
See, this is interesting. It's almost like for certain listeners, this flow represents a kind of liberation, a liberation from the gridded linearity of the beat. Whereas maybe for you and I, Charles, that prospect is anxiety inducing.
That's partially true. You know, I'm definitely coming with my expectations. I think here, just youthful anxiety, anytime that we're rushing, rushing for me is like something's going on. I need to get it all out. I can't even, I don't fully have control of what I'm trying to say, and I can't keep it in the beat. And oh, like that's what I get from it. It doesn't make me feel anxious. I'm feeling the feelings of like anxiety is in the work, and it might be fun and feel youthful because it just like it connects with that feeling that is relatable.
The Babytron discourse has been a wild digression from the artful intentionality of Black Thought.
Yeah.
But why don't we bring it back to a more sort of traditional flow and JID's Better Days?
Purpose, praying that we see some better days between worse ones. Nothing's ever perfect, but I made it so my mom's ain't working. Off of American instrumentals, and it's no coincidence. When I was little, I was very sensitive, never was talkative. Don't even try to tickle them. Me and my brothers and sisters, them slept in the same room, suffer the same affliction, see the reflection of a.
When I listen to this JID flow, there's actually maybe something in common with the Babytron sound because it's a little disorienting, but I think it's produced in a different way because JID's flow is very on beat, very in the pocket. I think what's so unique and unusual about the flow is the way he creates these long phrases that extend over multiple measures that don't really necessarily correspond to the underlying groove and beat, yeah. but dance across it. So you don't really understand where the different phrases begin and end. It's almost just like this unending wave of lyricism, just like continually crashing against your eardrums.
It's only you and George Doyle. Your parents used to treat me like their third son. I'm the first one bucking on any person trying to make you feel hurt or something. You my brother, I'd murder something for you. Throw that dirty gun into the Chattahoochee. You Louis, I be Gucci. We was Webby and Boosie with the low fade. Brush my hair for days, still ain't have no way.
You know, often in hip hop, really in like phrasing a melody in general, you're really going to put the emphasis at the very beginning of a measure, what's usually called the downbeat. So if you're in 4-4 like this song, you have a measure that goes 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4. If you take a classic hip hop track like Slick Rick's Children's Story, for instance, it starts right on the downbeat. Once upon a time, not long ago, when the people wore pajamas and lived life slow.
Once upon a time, not long ago, when people wore pajamas and lived life slow, where laws were stern and justice stood, and people were behaving like they ought to.
It's like very in the pocket, very on the beat.
Yeah.
You expect, you know, the very first line of your flow to land on that first downbeat. It just kind of makes sense. It sounds natural. JID is upsetting those expectations. When we listen to the first two lines of his final verse here, when he says, I got protection.
Papa had the right prediction, said I was destined to be whatever I envisioned, I manifested.
He puts the emphasis to me in what is like the most unlikely place of all, which is the very last syllable of those lines. It's like, if you show me those lyrics, I was like, well, that's the last place I would ever put the emphasis, is on literally the very last syllable of the line.
I got protection. Papa had the right prediction. Said I was destined to be whatever I envisioned. I manifested. Blessing that I made it out the club of 20.
That is so weird and unusual. But what it does is it turns the end of the line into the beginning of the next line, which in turn, when you're listening to it, you're like, okay, wait, where does this stop and where does it end? I don't even know anymore. Because he's literally flipping my expectations directly on their head.
Nothing's ever perfect, but I made it so my mom's ain't working. Off American instrumentals, and it's no coincidence. When I was little, I was very sensitive. Never was talkative. Nigga, don't even try to tickle them. Me and my brothers and sisters, them slept in the same room.
It's a subtle effect, but to me, it's like totally transformative.
The word flow and the metaphor of water feels very appropriate here because it just seems like a stream of thought moving against the beat, and you don't know if that thought is complete at the end of the bar or many bars later or somewhere in the middle.
In the case of hip hop, I always lock into the flow. And Charlie, what you said about the flow sort of reflecting water and like a wave, it washes over me and I find myself getting caught in it before I even register what I'm listening to. It's not necessarily what they're saying, like Jazzy Jeff said, but how it's being said.
I feel like with Black Thought, Babytron, JID, we've gotten a really diverse approach to flow. I would love to throw one other rapper into the mix who every time I listen to them, I kind of have to pick my jaw up off the floor in terms of the way they use flow. And that artist is Megan Thee Stallion.
I kept your bills paid, you were sick, I pay for surgery. God, I pray you put who do me wrong, what they deserve to be. I guess my skin not light enough, my dialect not white enough. Or maybe I'm just not shaped the way that make these give up. But fuck it, cause I'm black.
Okay, that clean version is pretty hilarious. But on this track, Not Nice, there's so much to talk about. I mean, there's Megan's themes of empowerment and defiance. There's the way she kind of dips into her personal life more than she ever has on a record. There's the explicitness of the language and the imagery she uses, which is something that I feel like maybe the first thing that most people comment on. But the thing that people like hardly ever talk about with Megan is the power of her flow. And this track works because it's constantly switching up the rhythm, constantly switching up the flow, keeping you on your toes. I feel like you never know what to expect in a given verse. Just when she locks into a rhythm, she changes it on you.
Credit for my stats. Yeah. I'm in Paris, sitting on a terrace, sipping tea with bears. And I know they talking down. We just too far going to hear. I'm out here cutting up at they neck like button ups. Everything green like buttercup, my afro, my pop up.
She's so confident in her flow. Like, my favorite Megan song is Cocky AF. And the flow reflects that. It's full of swagger and dare I say, like, gumption. You know, she hits every beat directly while keeping you locked into this like stank face listening mode.
Cocky is everything by me popping, got face, I got body, you name it, I got it. Cocky is, you know I'm conceited, yo, wanna beat me, yo, want eat it.
Listening to that, it's like her flow backs up the sentiment of those lyrics. Like, she's talking about how she's cocky and her flow has that cockiness. It lands hard. It emphasizes the key words.
I feel like one of the things that we're missing here is that she also has her own sonic calling card in her flow, which is such a smart thing as a rapper.
Is it when she goes, ah?
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
Ah.
Right? If Jay-Z's got, huh, she's got, ah. And she uses it everywhere. It ends up being a rhythmic filler when she needs some space. It's the thing that you know it's her. And with her rhythmic dexterity, which is almost like a second line drummer, playing along to a beat, then switching it up, trying triplets, going to 16ths, slowing it down, speeding it back up. All those things, I think, contribute to what makes her one of the most fantastic rappers right now.
Hearing that, Charlie, takes me back to something Jazzy Jeff said that we've, I think, returned to again and again, the idea of flow being as much about feel as it is about anything else. And it makes me think of another iconic Megan Thee Stallion song, Body. Because the chorus of this song is about as anti-lyrical as you can get, in the sense that it's literally just one word repeated over and over again. And yet when you listen to it, it is the hypest thing you've ever heard because of Megan's flow, because the way she takes that word and stretches it out and gives it this internal rhythm. And you could listen to her just rap that single word for hours, probably, because it flows so well.
So I guess in all of these artists, without sounding reductive, of course, what makes a rapper unique is their flow. And the flow, more often than not, is what makes a rapper.
Switched on Pop is produced by Rihanna Cruz, engineered by Brandon McFarland, edited by Jolie Myers, illustrations by Iris Gottlieb, community management by Abby Barr. Our executive producers are Hannah Rosen and Ashok Kurwa. We're a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network and a production of Vulture.
Listen to more episodes of Switched on Pop anywhere you get podcasts, and always our website, www.switchedonpop.com.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Switched on Pop. And we want to hear from you. Who has your favorite flow? What flows have you been rocking with this year? Hit us up and let us know.
We'll be back again next Tuesday. And until then,
thanks for listening.
Support for this podcast comes from Amazon Prime. The wait is over. Prime Big Deal Days are here. For 2 days, Amazon Prime members can get even bigger discounts on tons of products. Clothes, electronics, furniture, toys, you name it. Sign up for Prime now and enjoy the year-round perks of super fast shipping, exclusive entertainment, and personalized recommendations, plus the extra savings of Big Deal Days only on October 10th and 11th. Shop now at amazon.com/Prime Big Deal Days.